You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard on the web at the WWBC site. All you have to do is go to the WWBC. You'll see a little app that says On Demand. You hit that, and you could listen live to our show every Monday. All the past shows, I see Paul's nodding his head, all the past shows can be downloaded on Sita Media Inc. And we have pictures and we have the podcast, and my good friend Ellen Little, who is also my co-host, she makes sure to takes out all the dings and anything that's not supposed to be heard on air. Sometimes we'll drop a pen, sometimes we'll clap, and she takes all of that out so that the podcast is smooth. So for our friends who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're going to get started with today's show. Every Monday we meet here and we talk with fabulous guests about what they're doing to help humanity. Whether you opened a business, whether you're selling a product, whether you wrote a book, some people are running for office and some people are doing stuff with the nonprofits. And so this morning on my guest, we have two terrific guests. We have the candidate who is running for the Brevard County Clerk of Courts. Her name is Rachel Miller Sadoff, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And she is a good friend of mine, and I like her honesty and her integrity. She's very trustworthy, and she's going to be running for an office that she has a lot of experience in. Our second segment is with my friend, Dr. Lisa Soto, who is the Executive Director of the Marine Resource Council, and she is going to be talking later about a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about low-impact design, sustainable growth, what all of us can do to save the Indian River Lagoon, how can we help with waste and runoff, and what we can do to keep our planet beautiful. So welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It's nice to have a show where everybody can become friends on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I had no idea that you and Rachel hadn't met before with all the stuff you're doing in the county. So Rachel, meet Dr. Soto. Dr. Soto, meet
it's
Rachel.
It's so nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you.
But before we start with our show, I just wanted to say, in my humble opinion, we're all watching what's going on with the coronavirus. And I have to say, being a nurse in a nursing facility, we know that our elderly are so precious, but they're also very vulnerable as well. And most of my friends who are nurses and in the medical profession, we're all praying for a cure, but there is none right now. So please wash your hands. Wipe all your surfaces down. You know, when our parents told us cleanliness was next to godliness, they weren't kidding. Keep everything clean, right? And so I'm hoping that somehow, somewhere, we can have some sort of an emergency summit with all the scientists from all over the world. People sit down and talk about what are we doing globally to fight this virus, because we're seeing that they're doing different things in different parts of the world. And I think at some point, we need to come together as one, because the human race, we're one. We're all the same, no matter where we live. We all want the same thing. At the end of the night, when we go to bed, we want a place that's secure. We want food. We want shelter. We want good energy. And we want clean air, right? Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
So science at some point has to kick in right now. I mean, we can pray. Praying is good. But you also need the brains that God gave man to do things.
That's right.
Right?
We have the capability. We can do it.
We can. I mean, when we're going to war, we have emergency sessions at the UN. And so for a virus that's taken the lives of so many people, we probably need to come together as one body as well. You know? I mean, I'd be happy to cook for them. Because there's good stuff in
now
curry.
That'll get it that going.
Somebody said to me the other day, how come you never get sick? And I said, I really think it's the curry. I do get sick. I have allergies, which is horrible sometimes. And you do too.
I do right now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so let's get started with our show. So we're going to have Rachel Miller Sadoff go first because she has to go back to work. So Rachel, you know what? I put out an APB to my thousands of friends on Facebook, and I asked them to send me private messages of what they would like to know from someone who is running for clerk of courts. And the most important question was, why jump into this race?
That is a very good question, and it's something that I had to be comfortable with. And when I made my decision, this wasn't an easy decision. It's coming out of a comfort zone. I've never run for office before. I've helped other candidates, but when you're running, it's a total different experience. One of the biggest things that happened for me was our office kind of came under an attack a few years back, and we had an election that brought us a new clerk, and that clerk made changes that weren't really idealistic for not only the employees, but the county themselves, the county residents themselves. And I thought to myself, unbelievable. We listen to what people tell us and we buy into what they tell us. And we want to support them and we want to see their vision. And then they could actually have a complete different vision that we don't know about. And it can affect my life. It can affect many of my colleagues' lives. And that's really actually what happened.
Well, you care. You care about
absolutely
what happens in Brevard County, Florida.
Absolutely. And when that happened, I realized, why do I keep standing behind everybody and wanting to support them? Why wouldn't I support the person I trust the most, which is myself?
Right.
And that's when Scott discussed it with me. I thought about it, and it just made sense. And it was a right time, a good decision for me and my professional career, and here I am. And I'm somebody the staff knows. I'm embedded into our office. I've been there, and there's no personal gain.
Right. Well, you're already there.
Correct.
Well, one of my friends was asking me. They said, "Well, what experience does she have to run for clerk of courts?" So, and that was a good chance to tell them your experience, because you have quite an extensive background.
I started with the clerk's office in 1997, and I was a traveling court clerk. I was a court clerk in the injunction department. And back then, the way that Brevard County, the 18th Circuit, handled injunction court was each judge had a duty week, and they heard injunctions for a week. And every Wednesday, they split their day and had what was called Department of Revenue Day, which is child support. Department of Revenue represents their clients, and they're heard on that day. It is no longer like that in Brevard County. I mean, you don't even have to pay for an injunction anymore. That's a free service. Back then, it was $100 filing fee. But I went from court clerks to data entry to assistant supervisor to our electronic age of our scanning department to supervising. And I've supervised from the customer service to court clerks, to probate and guardianship. I've had a little bit of everything.
Like, you
under
were prepared
my umbrella
for this role, but you really didn't even know it.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I've been I wouldn't say I was a studier when I was in high school. I mean, are all of us really that gung-ho student? That was my sister, not me.
Yeah.
You know, but when I became of age and I became an adult, especially as a mother, I realized, wow, you have to learn. To learn, you have to study. And to keep becoming more familiar with what's happening, you have to keep reading and you have to put yourself out there to find the answers. And so that's kind of what I've done my whole career is invested to know more and to help more.
And this field is always changing. What would be your priority once elected to the Brevard County Clerk of Courts?
The electronic stage is here, technology. I'm for advancing our office. I work on that currently now. I'm very proud to say that Brevard County has their Brevard County Sheriff's Department is electronically filing all the new arrests that come into the jail each day. I'm proud to say that we electronically send our warrants to Brevard County Sheriff's Department. We are moving more and more forward with what technology can allow us to work in partnership with the other agencies. That is a benefit for the legal community other law enforcement agencies, probation, Department of Corrections, and including the public, because it provides the records online a lot faster, and we have an ability to be a little more accurate than what we might have had before, because people will see maybe an issue and yes. they can contact us. So that's one of my biggest things, is to continue to advance our office and keep Brevard being the best.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have instances where people are extremely happy that they get their records on time. Of course, now you can, because you could go online and get most of your stuff as well. But there's always that time when there's a customer that's not satisfied. And of course, this happens in a lot of jobs, right?
Absolutely.
How do you take care of someone who's not satisfied?
Well, first of all, we need to break down what they're not happy about. Sometimes True. There's a big misconception. They're in our office and they are not, they don't have the full story, or they don't have the full understanding of maybe what's going on with their case, or maybe they've applied with a for a passport and it hasn't come yet, or they received a letter from the passport agency that they're doing more investigating. They think it's our office's fault. That's the first thing. Get to the root of what it is. Listen to the customer and find out. We are the workers. We're the expertise. We should be, or the supervisors can get involved, and we want to help them navigate through whatever problem they're having. If it's something to do with court costs and fines, and they're not happy with what they must pay to get their license back, that's just, you can't really change. I can't change anything
right,
with that.
Right. You know, they can do a fundraiser. Go home and make hot dogs and hamburgers for your family and say $10 a piece.
Absolutely.
They'll help you.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's something that has happened and maybe in a family case and people are not happy with what is going on, or they haven't been served yet and they're upset that the other party hasn't been served, again, that might not be an issue of our office. Maybe the summons went out correctly and the sheriff's department or the process server hasn't been able to find the person.
Right. And sometimes it's a tone of voice, too, that the person behind the counter uses.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes, you could calm down a situation just by steadying yourself, taking a deep breath, and say, you know what? I'm going to deal with this the best I can, but I'm going to do it with a smile.
Absolutely.
And you're very good at that, too.
Absolutely. You know, people come in to pay child support, alimony, I can tell you that is not their most favorite thing to do that day.
Yes.
And we try to make it very pleasant. We try to become almost family to both the recipient and the payer. I mean, we want them to know we're just the medium
right.
here.
We're you're not there to create trouble for
right,
anyone.
You know, and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of different things, and people come to our office with very high emotions anyway. It could be for an eviction. Be for a small claims. It could be for an injunction. Most of our customers don't come because they're happy. I mean, happiness is with a marriage license. They're happy, or they're wanting to get married in our office that day.
Well, you
day.
Get your passport and you go to the trip the next day.
And the passport, that makes people really happy.
Yes.
But, you know, other than that, people are not really, we're not the office that everybody's like, yay, let's yeah. go, clerk's office.
I mean, that's really fines.
Right. You know.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we're chatting with our good friend, Rachel Miller Sadoff, and she's running for the Brevard County Clerk of Courts. And this segment is also paid for by the Rachel Miller Sadoff Clerk of Court account, your political account, which we need to let everybody know that. So Paul here is on board. So here's the other question now. So we know when someone's running for state representative, we know they have to go to Tallahassee. We know if somebody's running for like a U.S. senator, they go to Washington, D.C. What exactly are the duties of the Clerk of Court?
Well, there's many duties of the Clerk of Court. We are the official record holder. So when I'm educating people on our office, I tell them if they own a home, their deed, their mortgage is filed with our office. Lien holders file with our office. Notice of commencement. So if you're putting a pool in, fence in, notice of commencement is filed with our office. The marriage license comes under our official records. And we are actually a passport acceptance agency, which is good for us. And we take a test on that. Our staff is required to be audited every location, and they're required to take a test, and they have to comply with the rules, and we do. And we've always passed our audits with high remarks. We are also the chief financial officer of the county.
You are?
Mm-hmm. We are.
Look at that. You should need to talk to her.
Yeah, we are the chief financial officer of the county. We pay all county employees, receive a check from the clerk of court. We have an auditing function as well. A lot of people don't realize under the probate and guardianship, the guardianship accounts here in Brevard County, they're held in the clerk's office. Those are accounts, and we audit those accounts to ensure accuracy, to ensure that award is not being taken advantage of. We kind of, once the professional guardian files their paperwork or with the attorney into our office, we do a review of it. We make sure that everything is matching up. And if we don't, we'll send them a notice to comply. We'll tell them what the issue is. Maybe we see that $200 isn't accounted for, and they just need to let us know. Or we send them a comply. If they don't comply, we send it to the court, to the guardianship judge, which currently is our chief judge, Judge Davidson. So we have that function as well, and I take that very, very seriously. We have the court side, which is the court costs and fines. We are the assistant to the court during court proceedings.
You collect a lot of money.
We do. Mm-hmm. We collect a lot of money.
And you're held accountable for that.
We are.
That office is very transparent as well.
Absolutely.
Which I like.
Absolutely. And we have buckets. We call it buckets. And the money goes in and it has to be separated. So somebody receives a DUI and you want to look and see, oh, well, where does all the money go? Actually, on every case we have, it shows you what and how much might go to Mothers Against Drunk Drivers or goes to the city or goes to Brevard testing.
I love that idea of the bucket. I never thought of it, but visually, you know, I'm thinking brain buckets.
Yeah.
Buckets.
Mm-hmm. And then we disperse that out.
Yeah.
So, there's a high accountability for the clerk of courts. The best way to describe it, and I love telling people this, think of a jellyfish or think of an octopus, and it has the roundness and then it has all the tentacles, right? And the state attorney's office has to come to our office, the public defender, all the law enforcement agencies.
That should have been your thing on your website, the octopus.
Right. The county commission, because we have clerk to the board. We take the minutes at every proceeding. At every commission hearing, there is a clerk employee there. Those minutes are typed up, and then the clerk's office records those as well. So we're kind of like the hub, but I think when I tell people to think of a jellyfish or an octopus, it makes more sense to them.
Well, that's so neat the way you do it, but because a lay person who wants to know what the office of the clerk does, you got it.
Right.
I mean, your experience shows too,
right?
Because you're able to tell us what exactly you're doing there. But there's also, like, every job you need to have a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
What skills are required to run for the office of the county of the clerk?
I think the biggest is your honesty and integrity.
Yes.
And your commitment to the county, because this is the hub. This is where you have to trust me. You have to know that I'm going to take care of your records, that I'm accessible to you as a community, and that I have a good working relationship with all the other agencies and the judiciary, which I'm very happy that I do. And it takes years to have that relationship. You know, Scott is a wonderful clerk. He is somebody that's approachable. He is somebody that he will ask and listen. And those are absolutely great traits. And I think I continue with that. But you have to also be your own person. And people have to know that they can come to you. And I might not always have the answer. It's impossible for everybody to know everything.
You're going to have your personal touch.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
But it's important to know who to go to.
Right.
You know, and the staff, they know, they come to me and they know I want to see them succeed. I want to see them advance, and I want them to understand that what you're doing is very important no matter what job it is.
And you encourage a lot of personal development as well with your staff.
Absolutely.
Because you have a relationship with them.
Absolutely.
You've watched them grow.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the skill set coming in, take being the clerk of court roll out, we have all different types of skill sets in our office. We have CPAs because we have the financial side. We have individuals that have come just right out of high school. They're doing data entry. They're working in our scanning department. Those are all very important positions in our office. It's what makes it all happen. It
right, you're a team. You're a good team.
It's a great team.
And the thing is, it doesn't matter which office you run for in Brevard or the United States or any county, any state. People want someone who have good communication skills, people who shows that they're confident, trustworthy, have a passion for what they're running for, which you definitely do, and that you're prepared for whatever comes your way. So, I mean, and I highly recommend you as well. I mean, thank I've been you. Telling my friends as well. And I think Lisa is amazed at how prepared you are. Good jumping.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's so refreshing to hear somebody running for office who's actually done the work, mm-hmm. right? So many, I think, elected officials, just they just think of themselves as a political figurehead, and then they get in there and they don't understand what's happening on the ground. So,
right.
I really value that, Rachel, and I'm glad to get to know you and hear from you today. So I think that's really critical, especially in a job like this where you've got so many.
Yeah, I had no idea how many things they do,
the
that
job.
Octopus. Yeah.
And to have the experience to know people. So you know the judges, you know the system, you've worked in the system, and you've risen up through the ranks. So I think that's a quality that's, really
lacking. Because a
important.
Lot of people do run for office and they're just party line. It's mm-hmm. talking points. But she actually knows what she's going to do.
Right.
She has the experience to lead. So what can we do, the public, to give you, to help additionally, so that when once elected, we're there. Can we send in questions? Can we send ideas? What do you need from the public? You want their vote, of course. But what can we do to make it, with their ideas, we could bounce off of each other. Maybe somebody has an idea, they came in there and they saw something. Where can they go to get those ideas to you?
Our webpage, we try very hard to have up-to-date information, and we're pretty accessible. We have email groups that you can email us, including myself or the clerk. I love to speak to groups. I've speaked at schools, I've spoken to women's group, even last week, I've spoke at the Knights of Columbus, and anybody that wants somebody to come in and provide information regarding the public record, a lot of people don't know what records are online. It's an eye-opening when I come in there. I speak on that, I speak on the probate and guardianship, and that's important to me because we have an older generation here, right?
We're
a community that does have a group, and this is a lot of retirees here, and they don't know what to do. I mean, people
and they're baffled with the online stuff.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah. But it's very important that they know, because I want them to know, if they hire a caregiver to come in their home, don't just trust the company that tells you they're doing a background check. You look at our system as well. Go to our public records and see if that person, just here in Brevard County, it's only Brevard County for us, has anything in their background. We had an individual that actually works with us that was looking for somebody to help during the day while she was at work, and the company told her, oh, we do an extensive background, don't worry. And so I told her, listen, I'm going to tell you what I would tell my own family members. When you get home, go through the public, don't do it as an employee. And just do a search yourself. This person's coming to take care of what? Your precious mother. And she came back the next day crying and said the woman had 3 felony cases.
Yeah.
And she's like, how did this happen? Well, it was an error, and we're all human. But you have to be an advocate and use our records. I tell people,
don't be afraid of calling the clerk's office and asking for, and you guys are very efficient.
Absolutely.
Had dealings with them, and they're very efficient. So you're having events. Any events coming up that if someone wants to come and support you and they like what you're saying and you're experienced, that they can attend?
One of the events we have, probably the one that's the closest, is we are having a big barbecue and fun day at Green Gables, which is the property off of US 1. And it's a home that they're trying to save. And
we both went there.
Yeah,
yes.
And I'm
you and I support that cause.
I am very supportive of that cause. And I am having a fun day there. We'll have food. We'll have entertainment. And one of the local bands here, who also happens to be law enforcement affiliated, has in-kinded a concert to the campaign, which is amazing. And so we're holding that concert. So I tell people, please come out. It's March 29th. It's a Sunday. You know, we start at 1. We'll have things for all ages, and then the concert will start about 4. And
even if I'm working, I might be able to come.
Yeah, because you know what? Meet us. There will be tons of clerks there. You know, there will be tons of friends. You'll see people. And, you know, the county firefighters have endorsed me. The FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police.
And Sheriff Ivy.
Sheriff Ivy has endorsed me. You know, it's very important that I have that support. And I'm sorry, not FOP, the PBA. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
the
okay.
The PBA has endorsed
me. It's an unscripted show, so things like that happen.
You know,
when I look at you and I look at all the stuff you're doing and I hear all the wonderful stuff you've done in your career, I see you as a self-motivator and you have a lot of strengths. You're also a problem solver. You're a natural leader. And you have this attitude. You're able to function no matter what comes your way. What do you credit that to? Is it your parents or you just one day said, I'm going to be a force for good?
I think my family was a big supporter of me as a child. And I think then when I became on my own and independent and my family moved away from Brevard and I was an adult and I was married, I was left to myself. It was my turn. I had to make the decisions. I couldn't go home when I was upset with my husband, right?
I had to
learn to work everything out, and I had to learn to struggle to make it better. You know, I mean, I can tell you, I've ate a lot of angel hair pasta in my day.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so
you've had your
money.
Ups and downs like everybody
right?
else.
Absolutely.
It doesn't fall from the sky. You work for it.
You work for it.
Yeah. And so we just want our friends who are tuning in to know we're speaking with Rachel Miller Sadoff, and she is running for the Brevard County Clerk of Courts. When is your election? What date should everybody be looking for your name?
August. August is it. August.
And the district?
I say the month. This is a countywide race.
Right.
So August is it for me.
August, what date?
Well, you have early voting, you have absentee, so I don't put a date on
it
because
So vote.
Everybody votes at different times. So I don't want to say vote on this day, and then everybody goes, oh, I forgot. Nope. Just think of August and think of Rachel. I have made videos. I try to make informative videos. Scott and I made an informative video of the office. And I've made some personal, and there will be more videos coming out. And it's to reach the residents. It's to become familiar.
Well, you want them to know who you are.
Absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
Because once people get to know you, Rachel, I think they'll understand that you will make the job priority. You will make it a priority. It'll be number one on your list. But also what I like about what every time I speak with you and I see you at events or when I look at your Facebook post or what I know of you and my friends who are supporting you, you are a team player.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's very important to you as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no I in team. There absolutely is no I. And I can't be who I am. I couldn't even raise my children without being a team with somebody. It is always about making it work together and having some wonderful people support you.
So I'm just gonna give her a couple minutes from my time. Really quickly, give our listeners your Facebook page or your website.
Okay, my Facebook page is Rachel Sadoff for Clerk of Court. I also have a personal Facebook page. I apologize, a personal Facebook page that is Rachel Miller Sadoff. I run everything through both. The website we are about to launch. We wanted to bring it a little closer to when voting time was. We are gathering petitions. We have about almost 5,000 petitions gathered, and I want to thank all the residents and everybody that has helped. I mean, it has been a team effort to get those petitions, I can tell you, but it was a goal, and we were going to get out to the residents. And staff wanted to make sure their family knew who was there. And we did. We have been doing a great job in that. And we still have them coming in. I ask anybody who wants to contact me. My phone number is on the supervisor elections. But you can reach me anytime. Stop by the office. And I'm absolutely open and approachable. So please do not be afraid.
And also, one more question for you before you leave. Everybody have a 30-second elevator speech. Like somebody just met Rachel and they're like, oh, I'm not sure what's going on, but I want to know why you're running for office and what's your speech. What would you tell them in 30 seconds before we go off air?
I am running to continue the accuracy and the integrity of our office in Brevard County. I am a person that you'll be able to trust. I am a person that you'll be able to contact. And I am a person that you will never have to second guess where I stand. I am the person that I want to lead an office that provides you with everything you need when you walk out our doors.
Yeah, and I before we leave, she's such a wonderful friend. I just want to thank your family. I see them all the time, all over the place with you, helping you to get elected. And I think you'd be good for Brevard, and I think you'd be good for us. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Viewpoint with Sita and friends certainly support you. And I know you met a good friend today, Lisa, Dr. Soto. I know she's going to be following. She wrote the date down for the barbecue.
Oh, I hope you
did.
So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll
take a quick station break, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and friends with Dr. Lisa Soto.
Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, right here at WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And we're also online all over the world and on the web. And I tell you what, this morning I forgot to take my allergy pill and I feel a little nasally, but I don't have the corona.
Thank God.
I'm very careful. I've been washing my hands. I've been wiping surfaces down everywhere I go. I'm not crazy about it, but I do. If I see at the gym they've got wipes, I use it. But
you know, we're supposed to shake elbows.
Yeah,
instead
but
of
then
hands.
Some people sneeze into their elbow.
So maybe feet. We should shake feet.
So what a robust, a really great first segment with Rachel Milosadov, who's running for the Brevard County Clerk of Courts. And, she, you know, we met here on the show, but I've seen her at various events. And every time I speak with her, she's one of those people who are running for office, but actually is excited about doing what she's doing. She has a passion for it. And you have a date that you were going to tell our listeners, Dr. Soto, about what date it is?
Yeah, so we were talking about when do we need to go out and vote in August in the primary for the county, and the early voting starts on August the 5th through the 15th, and then the date to go out and vote in person is August the 18th. So come August 1st, like Rachel was saying, start thinking, all right, I need to either get my early voting ballot in or I need to schedule August 18th to go and vote.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to mail in your ballot. I have to say, I sent my vote in by mail.
So did
and
I.
And I'm quite happy with it.
Got my sticker on today.
Yeah, I think it's because look at what, you know, when you look at what's happening with the environment, right? Sometimes there's rain, there's storms, there might be, anything could happen. But your ballot is safe at Laurie Scott's office. Mine's already counted. I tracked it. I know it's there.
Oh, I need to learn how to
do
that.
So anyway, so for our second segment, we're speaking with Dr. Lisa Soto, who has been quite a supporter of Viewpoint of CETA and Friends, like I am a supporter of the Marine Resource Council, and you are the executive director of the Marine Resource Council. And I know that our friends who are tuning into Viewpoint with CETA and Friends, we'd like to have an update about the Indian River Lagoon and what we can do to make Brevard more beautiful.
Yay. Okay, well, Marine Resources Council is a nonprofit. We depend on people like you to donate and become members of our organization to support what we do. MRC has been trying to protect and restore the Indian River Lagoon since the early 80s. So we've been here for decades, started at Florida Tech, became our own nonprofit organization in 1991. And we do all we can to protect the lagoon, all five counties, 156 miles, by doing education, restoration, and citizen science.
Right. And so MRC was started by a group of Florida Tech professors who decided to turn science into action.
Exactly.
So that's what we need right now for the coronavirus, science into action, don't we?
We need it a lot. We need it a lot. And there's nothing more scary for me to hear is this ongoing rhetoric about we don't need any more science, we have enough science, and I'm like, no, we always need more information to make a good decision. And so anyway, that's discouraging to hear sometimes, but I'm glad to say that at Brevard County we are using science to plan how we're going to save the lagoon through that Save the Indian River Lagoon sales tax that our people passed back in 2016.
Citizen science through engagement.
Citizen science through engagement.
That's what I think it is. So so what's the latest with the sales tax that we all passed, all voted for? Because I think most of us who voted for that, we wanted to see a clean, clear lagoon. We wanted to see the muck taken out. We wanted to see healthy grass growing again and people fishing and eating and enjoying the lagoon.
Yeah, so it's been 4 years since we passed that tax. It took them really about a year to get going. So in the few years that they've been, you know, moving forward, they have updated the plan every year. I think they've implemented over 40 projects and completed them. They've got over 100 projects in the works. Every year they go back and they look at the plan, and they use a really very rational cost-benefit type analysis to prioritize how they're going to reduce pollution, remove the contaminants like the muck that's already in the lagoon, and then restore the missing habitat like the mangroves and oysters and clams, and those filter feeders that help clean the water.
I hate to go back in time, but I sometimes get so angry at us, the citizens of Brevard County, Florida, and the people who were supposed to be looking out for the lagoon. Why did we allow this to happen, right? Like, to get all that muck in the lagoon and all the runoff from the septic tanks and the fertilizers and all that kind of stuff. But let's fast forward. What can we do now as citizens every day? Little things to help the Indian River Lagoon.
Oh, there's so many. It's hard to name
the top five. We've talked about the top five before, about the rain barrels and try to convert the septic to sewer if we could and things like that.
Well,
leaky tanks.
Septic to sewer is something you can't do as an individual, right?
I would like to, right? But, if I had Bill Gates' money, I would.
I'm going to start with number one being vote. Vote for your local city and county commissioners who are going to support the Save Our Indian River Lagoon plan. So we have in place a plan that is using a rational, scientifically based matrix to make decisions on prioritized projects. There is a possibility that elected officials might want to modify the plan for their own political gains. So keep an eye on who your commissioners are and make sure that they are voting for the plan, because the plan is being overseen by our Citizens Oversight Committee that we voted on. They're using the process that we voted on to make sure that the projects are the right projects. Tomorrow night, the County Commission is going to hear the plan. I suggest you tune in online, watch that commission meeting, and see which commissioners vote for the plan, which ones don't vote for the plan,
and why. What would they have to gain to vote against the plan?
They would. So there's the challenge is that commissioners hear from their
constituents,
that they want their septic tanks removed and sewer lines brought in. And that's not a bad thing, but that particular project may not be a priority.
Right.
So instead of that commissioner telling their constituents the hard tale of, I'm sorry, your project is not priority for this year.
There's other things ahead of that.
There's other things ahead of it. They may just push their projects through so they look better in their constituents' eyes.
So they're doing what's good for them politically or for their constituents, not what's good for the river, for the lagoon.
Well, it may not be a bad thing, right?
Yes.
Anytime you're converting septic to sewer, it's probably not a
bad
thing.
But is it a priority?
It's just that there's a priority in place. Even though this money, the sales tax, is bringing in a lot of money, it is not enough money to connect every septic tank to sewer and then upgrade every sewer plant to deal with that wastewater. So we're talking billions of dollars of wastewater infrastructure needs that we're really not going to be able to. Even if we put every dime of the Save Our Lagoon tax, we are still not going to be able to approach the cost of upgrading our wastewater infrastructure.
Right. So you're the executive director of the Marine Resource Council. What are the priorities right now?
Yeah. So you can, the Save Our Indian River Lagoon plan is on the Brevard County website. You can just Google Brevard County Save Our Indian River Lagoon plan, and it'll take you to that page and you can go and see. The priorities are that we need to get the muck out. And people, I keep saying this over and over.
Yes.
Muck is, not only is it disgusting and you could like fall in it and be stuck there like quicksand, and in some places it's very deep.
Slimy.
It's gross and slimy. It's also smothering everything on the bottom, so we can't have clams and oysters on the bottom if we're going to have muck. And a lot of people don't realize muck actually off-gasses ammonia back into the water column. Ammonia is toxic, and it also fuels algae. So we don't want to have those giant algae blooms that are usually associated with a fish kill. We do not want that to happen.
Or the red eye. We all remember the red eye.
The red eye.
Yeah. Remember when we had, or everybody was having the problem with their eyes turning red, and then they all have to, it's something from the Indian River Lagoon.
Oh, was it the red tide?
Right. Red tide. Red tide
was causing it, people's eyes
yes,
to burn.
Yes, yes, yes,
years
yes.
ago.
Yeah, remember that's when people started paying attention, because they're like, "Oh, it's red tide. My eyes are itchy. It's blurry. It's watery. I can't see." Then when it hit them in the pocketbook, then they started paying attention.
Uh huh.
Because they had to run out and buy all these medication. I remember how many friends of mine were calling and saying, "Can we have an antibiotic?"
So we need to get the muck out.
That's right. The muck caused that.
Yeah. It's fueling algae that causes red eye.
Yes.
Other things.
Red tide, red eye, and red tide. Something. Right.
And so anyway, the plan has muck removal projects in it, and some of our commissioners are asking for monies to be diverted from muck removal to more septic to sewer conversions.
Gotcha.
So we need to get the muck out. The lagoon is not going to recover as long as the muck is in there.
And, you know, I've known you for quite a few years, and we've always talked about the muck. And when I ran for office, I remember Thad Altman saying that on stage, that the plan is to get the muck out. But it's going to take years to get the muck out. It takes a long time. It's a process that takes a long time.
Right.
So I would think that should be the one thing that should be on track to get that out now before we do anything else.
Exactly. And it takes tens of millions of dollars to get muck out and years of permitting. And if you don't think you have the money coming because the county commission is diverting those monies to a different type of the plan, in a different area of the plan, the septic to sewer conversion, then they're not going to plan any more muck removal projects. And also, you know, like I mentioned, they're forecasting and going ahead and approving projects to complete the next 6 years. So any new project, any new technology, any new issue that comes up, there's not enough money left to deal with those. There's not even enough money left to deal with the cost, you know, if there are cost increases, if the supplies increase, if engineering firms increase their prices, there's not enough of a cushion left. So we could go, I don't want to go into too many details about the Saber Indian Ravine Plan.
So tomorrow is the meeting. And what
it's
time?
Evening.
And,
it's an evening.
So are you planning to attend in person?
I am not.
Oh, because, you know, it's amazing that a lot of people don't understand even what happens with seagrass and with the healthy seagrass. And what people just don't, I don't know if they don't care or if they're not reading. Tell our listeners a little bit about the healthy shoreline.
Okay. So going back to muck again.
Mm-hmm.
So if the muck is covering the bottom, then seagrasses can't grow. And the muck, not only is it bad sitting on the bottom, but every time the wind blows and the lagoon gets stirred up, it resuspends and it makes the whole lagoon turn blackish brown. And then it takes a long time for that muck, because it's so fine, to settle back out again. So while it's suspended in the water column, making the water look very muddy, it's blocking the light. Seagrasses are grass. They need photosynthesis. They need light. And as long as there's all that muck in there, it's blocking light from reaching the seagrasses, and the seagrasses cannot proliferate. We've seen in our Indian River Lagoon report card, which is on MRC's website. The website is Save the IRL. Easy to remember, Save the Indian River Lagoon, SaveTheIRL.org. We just released our report card. And the latest data, which is 2017 data, and we can talk about why that takes so long to get.
Yes.
But the 2017 data actually showed a slight increase in water quality and in the seagrass spores.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we're seeing seagrasses recover a tiny bit and some minor improvements in water quality.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, people don't understand that the county commissioners, when they sit down and they start deciding what's going to happen with this money, there's so much money that we need for nutrient reductions for the wastewater. We need money for treating the water during the muck removal. We need the money for muck removal itself. And then about for the wastewater treatment plants, we need money for that. We need money to reduce for reclaimed water. I mean, the money has to be allocated somehow, but nothing is as important as getting the muck out before you could do all these other things.
Well, especially when you think about, well, we were just talking about buckets, right? Buckets of money and where you're putting the money.
Yes.
So muck removal does not have a bucket except the Save Our Indian River Lagoon tax. That's the only bucket of money available for muck removal. Wastewater has another bucket. All the wastewater utilities have a utility fee that we all pay into.
So they can pull and
they're managing their money, right?
Yes, right.
They should be using their own money to upgrade their wastewater systems and improve their infrastructure and improve their capacity and so on. But unfortunately, you know, we're in a loop of always just building new, bring in more development. And then we're using our utility fees to try to cover the cost of development, which development and the taxes that we pay do not cover the cost of the services that those people need when they get here. So we're always borrowing from Peter to pay Paul in Florida in trying to cover the cost of services with other funds.
We're taking from everybody else.
From the past,
Peter to pay Paul.
To put into the future. So instead of maintaining the past, instead of maintaining what you already have, you're always using your maintenance money to build new.
So how do we stop the pollution at the source? Because that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah.
All the citizens of Brevard County, Florida, should be concerned about stopping the pollution at the source. Think what's going upstream instead of elsewhere. I mean, whatever we do, when we flush our toilets, when we take a bath, when we irrigate our lawns, everything goes in the ground that ends up somehow in the Indian River Lagoon.
That's right. So we are the source. Each one of us is a little nutrient manufacturer, I love to say. But think about, so right now it's spring, so people are starting to think about, oh, it's time for me to do my garden and take care of the yard. And if, don't fertilize your lawn this spring. Just skip this spring and don't do it and see what happens. If the lawn starts to suffer over the summer, which I doubt it will, you could hit it in October. But we're coming up on our fertilizer ban period where you cannot apply nitrogen from June 1 to September 30. So if you're going to do anything to your yard, you need to do it in April or May. You need to use a 50% slow release, or I dare you to disconnect your lawn. Give it nothing. If you are irrigating your yard right now with reclaimed water that's coming out of a wastewater treatment facility, you've got enough nitrogen and phosphorus to grow the yard without any fertilizer.
Yes.
So if you live, a lot of HOAs are being irrigated with reclaimed water. You could save your HOA a bunch of money and stop hiring a chemical, applicator to come spray more nitrogen and phosphorus on top of it.
Yeah, because you're getting it already from through the reclaimed water.
You're getting it through your reclaimed water.
So we've been hearing a lot about low impact designs, and how does that help the Indian River Lagoon?
Thank you. Yeah, low impact design or low impact development, it's a different way of building. They've implemented it throughout the world, up north on the west coast of Florida. It's just a way of getting more water into the ground. So instead of channeling storm water away from your property as fast as possible, the engineers construct the lot to allow for more seepage. So sometimes that's alterations in what's happening underground, where they can put in different types of infiltration media or boxes. Sometimes it's a matter of just pooling water in certain areas of the lot. Sometimes it's really just as simple as, how about if we don't raise all the lots 4 feet and kill all the trees and start over and compact it all to concrete? The current development paradigm is that. We rip out every tree on the entire lot. We raise the lot 4 feet. We compact it. So now it's more like concrete. And then we build on top of it. Nothing is going to filter through that ground. So just thinking about keeping your natural soil on top with its bacteria and its sponge effect, and then you build in a way that enables the natural flow of water to percolate instead of running down the driveway and into the storm drain.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of engineering designs and coefficients, and everything has been modeled in the state of Florida to allow for low impact design. We just need the political will and the regulatory incentives in place to accommodate it, because unless a developer is really proactive and wants to be innovative, they won't do it unless they're incentivized somehow. You need to make it easy for developers to use these tools, or they're going to do it the way they always have.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we have some developers who are tuning in. I mean, the international investors as well. I mean, look at what Disney is doing. I mean, it's amazing. So many people are coming to the state of Florida. Right? How do we, the sustainable growth for this state, when are the developers, the investors, the people flocking to Disney all over Orlando, when are we going to address the sustainable growth?
We need to start. We needed to start 30 years ago. But it is, it's a challenge, because it's like a new person gets into office and you hear over and over this kind of false paradigm of, well, when the economy is good, we can deal with the environment. But as soon as the economy starts to go downhill, all environmental regs go off the table. So there's this false precedent of kind of economy and environment are on opposite ends of some spectrum.
Yes.
That really is not true. I mean, there have been studies done, including one recently by the Institute for Southern Studies, that showed that economic prosperity and environmental health actually go up and down together. That, and we've seen that here, right? When the lagoon crashed, our economy crashed with it. You know, we know that there's a link in quality of life, environmental quality, and economic health. And it's been proven, you know, through this study. And it makes sense intuitively. And yet every time, you know, somebody new gets in office, it's the first thing out of their head. And I heard it again. I was very encouraged in Tallahassee this year. You know, I've been saying the waters of change are flowing in Tallahassee. You know, we've got a governor who took a stance for clean water within 2 weeks of being in office. That's being, you know, felt through his delegation. You know, the senators and representatives up there are passing water bills, which is good news. But then when I went to talk to the deputy secretary, and the words were, well, as long as the economy's good, you know, everything's good.
Yes. You know, I get a little ticked off when someone says, as long as the economy is good, everything else is good. No, it's not. We still have public education to worry about. We still have to worry about the environmental concerns that all of us have. We still have to worry about health care. We still have to worry about affordable wages and affordable housing and the homeless. There's other things. Yes, I'm glad when the economy is good, but there's like other arms, like the octopus, right?
Yes.
So talking about water, what is the water quality right now in Melbourne? Because your people are moving here. And I heard somebody who just moved here from Baltimore. She says, oh, the water tastes terrible in Melbourne. I'm like, we drink it. I think it's fine.
I think we've gotten used to it. So I don't know. Melbourne puts out a wonderful water quality report every year. But I hear that all the time, too, that people move here from other areas of the country and think our water tastes terrible. I put mine through like three different filters. So
yes.
I'm not one to talk about water quality.
So if somebody wants to learn more about the Marine Resource Council,
yes,
they just go on the web, Google it. There's your website right there.
Yeah. Can I?
Yes, go ahead. Give us the website, the phone number,
we operate
events
out of the Lagoon House. It's that big blue building. Everybody thinks it's a restaurant. It's located next to the Honda dealer, about a mile south of the Melbourne Causeway. We're open Tuesday to Saturday. You can come in and see us. Website, savetheirl.org. First Saturday morning of every month, we do a mangrove workshop. You can bring your kids down or your Girl Scout troops or whoever come down and plant some mangroves for us. This weekend, we've got the Shipwreck Salvage Archaeological Symposium. Sounds like it's going to be super cool. If you're interested in treasure or learning about that, you know, go to our website and you can register for that. The first Saturday in April 4th, we're doing a mangrove workshop, and we've got the Whale Volunteer Potluck. We do a brown bag seminar the first Tuesday of every month. The next one is going to be on recycling. But do check out our events calendar, savetheirl.org.
Right, and if anyone wants to donate their time, money, or energy to the Marine Resource Council, they'll take that as well, and they partner up with businesses. You know what I like about you guys? You guys have the Lagoon Watch, which is a citizen science water quality monitoring program that fosters community involvement in water quality issues. And people could also sign up for that. It's called the Lagoon Watch program. And that's where my friend from Baltimore should sign up, since she's so concerned about the water quality. I saw that. I saw that something that they checked the water quality over time. So Dr. Lisa Soto, thank you so much for coming on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends. In your 30 seconds before we go off air, how can you, in 20 seconds, encourage someone to join MRC?
Well, go to the website, become one of our members, savetheirl.org. Strongly encourage you to get involved in the democratic process, and you need to do it locally. So, you know, find out who your city council people are and who your county commissioners are and what they stand for, whether they want to hear from you or not. You have a right to be heard. And strongly encourage you to get involved in local politics.
Right. Turn science into action.
Yes. Save the IRL.
That's right. So for all our friends who have tuned in, we'll be right back next Monday on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends from 1 to 2.